D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Pleased to be joined, as we are every Wednesday at 5 o'clock, by our friend Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hi, Hutton. How are you?
Hey, Willie, Mace, hope you guys are doing well. And Happy New Year to you, Adam.
Last day. But not for me. I appreciate
that. How long I can keep this going.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Hutton. I really do. So let's do some role-playing here, Hutton. Let's say that you get a phone call from Amy Adams Strunk, and she says, Jonathan, I want you to be the lead on our pitch to John Harbaugh. We really want John Harbaugh to be our next coach, and we think you are the man to put the pitch together. What are you highlighting? What are you emphasizing in an attempt to convince John Harbaugh to pick the Titans?
How much do you want, and who do you want to work with? There you go.
That's it.
And I'm doing what they should have done, and I'm putting the guy in charge that has done something that it ends with the Super Bowl, or is getting us on the path to doing so. If I'm working in that direction, I'm not going with the first time play caller and doing all this stuff and listening to people that, or a collaboration of those who haven't done things in a coaching search before. And I'm not taking anything away from Mike Bergonzi. You're asking me what I would, if I'm Harbaugh, what I would say, or if I'm Amy, I'm Shrunk, what I would say to him. Yeah. We want you. What do you want?
What do you?
That's what it comes down to. I want to win whenever the dome opens. What do you want, John Harbaugh?
What do you make of the list of interviews that have reportedly been scheduled? And again, just because they're getting an interview doesn't mean they're a top candidate. But it's a wide range of coaches, from Kevin Stefanski to Lou Anarumo to Jason Garrett. We all had a bit of a laugh yesterday. But what do you make of the list of candidates who are reportedly already set for interviews? Are you noticing any themes or trends based on the coaches who have been giving interviews so far?
This is the premise I'm viewing these names and lists under, okay? And I, and this comes with an addendum here. This is like Harbaugh is off the list from how I'm viewing this, okay? My thoughts. I want to approach it as if Mike Bergonzi is a smart, competent, and he knows what he doesn't know, first-time general manager. And I think he is those things, but I'm viewing it through that lens and the lens that everyone assessing this list would be smart as well. The Titans coaching search did not start whenever everyone – it starts reporting these names on Monday. They have known since before Halloween that they were going to be hiring a coach. I would hope that an organization with competence would be doing everything possible to have their plan pretty much set in place whenever things are whenever you are allowed to then ask for permission to talk to coaches. Now, if it is Matt Nagy, then to me, this is exactly how they should do it. They can't hire a coach right now, this exact moment anyway. Adam, I would view it as first time in this situation as going through a coaching search. Let me interview as many as possible and then also get as many opinions, analysis, assessments, plans. Everyone is going and saying, here's what I think of Cam Ward. Here's how I would do things offensively, defensively. You're getting everybody collectively giving you their pitch to get you back to the playoffs and on an actual path towards a championship. That's not a bad thing, no matter how long this takes.
Now, that's
if you have planned this out, mapped out how, and he's very deliberate. He knows what he's looking for. And I mean, look, there were interviews. Jason Garrett, for instance, has interviewed a number of places, and I would think that while he can certainly win the job, I'm not saying here, anywhere, he can sell himself and win a head coaching position. Other organizations have had him in too, and it may just be a detailed plan of what the organization is about from his perspective. I I would want a veteran analysis from other organizations and philosophies.
Yeah, I think you're right in regards to that. But like you said, this is not something that they just started doing. It's not like, oh, the season ended, we fired their quarterback. Oh, I mean, your head coach. Oh, now we're going to start looking for a coach. Like you said, they've been looking for a coach 3 months ago. This started 3 months ago. So
Matt Nagy turned down the contract extension in Kansas City. Like, if you're doing it, you know he's going to – if he wants to coach, he's going to be back channeling. This goes on, you know? Like, players are getting contacted to the transfer portal in September, October, November, and year-round. NFL coaches would, too.
Yeah, and that's why my thing is, and I said this yesterday, like, I'm done with the fluff. Like, if you don't think – realistically yeah. think that you're going to hire this guy, don't bring him in. Because I think this organization, you had enough time to, you know, you've been in jumpstart mode before teams even thought about looking for a head coach.
They can't hire yet, though, right?
Not as far as that. But Borghazi said it. I know enough people in this business to know who I need to ask, and when I need to ask it, and in what way I need to ask it to know about certain coaches around the league that may end up getting fired. Sure. So that's why I said, listen, I understand that the process entails bringing people in. But if you don't have plans to hire this guy, don't waste your time. Don't waste the organization's time. Don't waste his time. It may not be a waste of his time because he's getting the interview in front of you. But don't waste the organization's and the quarterback's time, because the longer it takes you to find a head coach, the further it puts you back. And you've been leading the race for 3 months. So you don't want to.
What if you can save time and actually talk to your future offensive coordinator during the process?
Yeah, you're right.
Your defensive coordinator. What if Kafka is going to be the OC and play caller and Raheem Morris is the defensive coordinator?
No, you're right. And we went over that sort of scenario yesterday. But my thing is, if I'm looking for my head coach, yes, it's good to get these other people in front of me. But my main objective is to find a head coach. That's my main objective. And I understand the things on the outside needs to be dealt with too, meaning assistant coaches and everything else. But my main objective right now is to find the head coach for this team for the next, you know, hopefully 10 to 15 years.
I don't want this to turn into what the Jets did last year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, where there it's like 19 people and they didn't have a GM either, and they're trying to figure this out. But with a general manager who was just named in charge, like, I mean, if again, like since October, this has been going down for the longest time. Matt Nagy was not linked to any other teams but the Titans. And I think the Cardinals just got involved. Mm-hmm. But like, again, like it just screams that this is, you know, Mike Mularkey was the head coach before Mike Mularkey was going to be the head coach. Mm-hmm. You know, like the interim was, they interviewed some other guys, but you know, like he's admitted that. Mm-hmm. So like I don't mind the fact that the GM's doing this, because again, you can, Matt LaFleur ended up being the offensive coordinator because Mike Vrabel didn't have an OC whenever Ohio State named an interim coach or a coach in waiting, excuse me. And ended up benefiting the organization because Vrabel was able to turn to him because John Robinson recommended him. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree. I'm not interviewing a guy that I have no interest in philosophy.
Exactly.
But if I want to learn personality and a tone set and whether or not this guy's an alpha in the room, sure. Or the plan for coaching staff. That's another benefit to know.
Now, Adam asked a question yesterday after the press conference, you know, what would be the headline if we had to title it? Mine was "The GM Has Spoken." After listening to Borghazi, what would your headline be?
It's official. The Titans have a general manager. Hmm. But I also thought about this yesterday, Mace. Mm-hmm. He did this before at the trade deadline. He was solo at the trade deadline, too. I don't think he was just named the guy in charge. I think that was whenever we learned that he was officially by title. And every like the work pyramid and who's doing what and who reports to who. I think that was officially publicly announced, but I think privately behind the scenes, he's been running this for a long time. I think minimum since the trade deadline, where he was sitting up there by himself as the voice of the organization, where he was talking about he doesn't want to get into the head coaching search, but here's what we're looking for. He was the leader then too, is what I'm saying. I think they had the GM behind the scenes then.
So what do you think happened?
I liked what he came in and did and said and how he approached things. It's very dry, but I think he does try to answer certain questions. Other things he's not going to just based on for any reason. But I viewed it as a very positive move and outcome because this is the one opportunity the Titans had, or fans, whoever, to see the team actually hire an alpha coach because Borgonzi's making the recommendation. Otherwise, I think we would see similarities to other hires that have been made or moves that have been made within the organization.
So what do you think happened behind the scenes whenever it happened? If your theory is it happened weeks ago, do you think it was significant? The need for Amy Adams Strunk to put out the whole press release, they came to me kind of thing. What you think happened.
I think it's just the right way to do things because so many questions were going to come from coaches, potential coaches, about the structure. It saves having to have the conversation during the interview process or any concerns a coach would have. I mean, if I'm John Harbaugh and they didn't do this, I'm not even showing up here for an opportunity. Like, you see what I'm saying, Willie? Like,
yeah.
I think the timing.
So you don't think
it
was an issue, a work issue between Brinker and Borgonzi necessarily? It was more for how it's perceived from the outside.
The end of the work week and then the following work week, the interviews were going to start. I think the press release was just to make it officially put out there by everyone. And there are certain, media members who initially had it, So like I viewed it as timing because of the coaching search officially starting and requests were going to be made prior to Wednesday. So you want requests accepted. and I took it as that. Now, earlier from internal, I think there were certain things that Brinker was doing and certain things that the GM was doing. And yeah, I think they at the trade deadline, hey, do we need to talk to Chad Brinker? Or we need to talk to Mike Borgonzi. Who are we requesting about trading for Jeff Simmons for? Like he was always doing those things in that role, and Brinker's doing what Brinker's doing, which is
we don't know.
salary cap stuff, I guess.
Yes.
I think the one voice thing does look good, just from how it goes. So I'm with you guys on that. Hud, I want to ask you about offensive philosophy, how they approach this, because they could end up with any number of head coaches here. It may not be an offensive mind that they hire. But what's the best offense for Cam Ward? How similar does it need to be to what they have been running?
Which version of what they've been running?
Good question.
It needs to be the run game while he develops. Like the new staff, it's head coach, OC, play caller, quarterback coach. I would try to make that group as few as people as possible instead of the four or five voices that Cam Ward was talking to all year. I would say the head coach doesn't need to call plays, but the play caller and the OC and the quarterback coach are primarily the two guys I need around my quarterback at all times. And I don't need an OC and a play caller and a quarterback coach and a head coach that calls plays. And no, don't need all that. And Mike McCoy even had a quarterback background and he's walking around doing things. Oh, offensive only. He admitted that before he took the interim job. He's also around Cam a lot. So I would minimize that with my core guys, and then I would focus on the run game, offensive line. But again, like the O-line being what it was this year, the run game did settle in and then dictate the pace of games. There was improvement, and I think the improvement happened from Cam because of the run game. I would lean on that and get back to the foundation of let's be honest, whenever they fired Vrabel, there was this line of it was ownership or speaking for ownership, new era football or new age offense or whatever.
They've had so many sayings.
Look around the league.
Passing yards are down.
Really down compared to like 5-6 years ago.
Sure.
And college football too. So I would rely on the run game and defense, and that's not a terrible thing. There's still exciting football being played, but the foundation and the anchor of some of these teams who are successful, get a lead, keep the lead, and stop the opponent that's going to have another MVP caliber quarterback across from him in the AFC.
Okay, so that leads into the next question. And this was discussed some. It's overshadowed, of course, by the coaching search. But prioritizing if it's edge rusher or wide receiver with the first pick, which way would you lean, all things being equal?
Willie, say that again.
How would you prioritize their first overall pick? I guess the fourth pick in the draft. Which would it be, a wide receiver to put with Cam?
Fourth pick. Okay.
Or would it be an edge rusher, if all things are, because it does look like they'll have options in that air in at both of those positions in that spot in the draft.
Man, it wouldn't be wide receiver right now. It would be pass rusher corner. Quite frankly, is it high for a cornerback? Yes. Not for pass rushing. There's some elite dudes there, it seems. I'm going with the KC model. I got to think. I'm thinking success of what they've had. It was Mahomes in the offense, but defensively they could get after you. And they had the good version of Snead, and they got their wide receivers primarily in like the second, third, fourth rounds. And correct me if I'm wrong there, guys, but they had their offense was legit, and they all knew exactly what was going on. Everybody was in lockstep. And then defensively, high round picks in the first round, second round. Now they had low round. They're drafting, low in these rounds because they won. But that was the focus. And I would build on the edges of both sides of the football. I'm going to invest at corner and wide receiver and at pass rush, and they lack all three. I just don't. I don't think that the wide receiver spot is necessary if you're drafting well to make sure you can move the football if you have an elite quarterback. They're saying they do. Go get an edge or get a corner, and if edge affects the corner, that dude better be, a standout player pretty early on in the season, because right now we saw what they ended with at corner. And it's not like they had a great group to begin with. Teams are going to score points. Right now, I'm not sure the Titans can score a ton of points, but we'll see what they do in the offseason given the fact that they have a ton of money. But they're going to win or lose based on how they draft.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow has been our guest on D-Maze, Bing and the Donick. He joins us every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Hutton, great stuff as always, my friend. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy Easter, Adam.
Thank you. I'll take that under consideration.
Hey, I always enjoy this, guys. You guys have a great rest of the week.
You as well. 615-737-1025. We will revisit Derek Mason's assessment of John Harbaugh as a coach. As we discussed earlier in the program, we are in a unique position on this show because we have a member of this program who actually played for John Harbaugh. So what does Derek like and maybe even dislike about John Harbaugh as a coach and his fit with the Titans? We'll get back to that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.